day three of the hearings in the Barkly region, but day eight overall. What are you reading into it, and basically, what's the general feeling about how the evidence is going?
The muckety mob here, the people that have been fighting against this waste dump coming to their land, have just been so strong in that courtroom. It needs to be said that the federal court is not a particularly friendly place for Aboriginal people, or for anyone really who's not powerful, who's, you know, and doesn't know that system. It's a very intimidating system. The witnesses are on their own, essentially surrounded by, I mean, there was one scene yesterday that I think summed it up. Gladys Brown, who's a traditional owner of Muckaty and a very strong cultural woman, essentially surrounded by non-Indigenous men, grilling her about her cultural authority and her cultural knowledge. A very, very inappropriate setup in terms of Aboriginal law, and very intimidating sort of atmosphere. But people have just done so well, and they've fought long and hard to be here. I mean, the NLC and the Commonwealth Government did not want this trial to go ahead, did not want to come up and actually get evidence from the people, but the legal team for the Muckaty mob fought very hard. People have fought long and hard to be here, and they've stood their ground. And I'd have to say it is an incredibly distressing thing to watch. Northern Land Council lawyer essentially trying to denigrate in cross-examination, denigrate the cultural knowledge and authority of Aboriginal people, because obviously the Northern Land Council have got a particular take on the anthropology that they're using to justify the nomination, and a lot of Muckaty for a nuclear waste dump site. And a lot of this mob here, their understanding of the dreamings on Muckaty and the responsibilities to country is very different from what the Northern Land Council are relying on for their nomination. So in order to try and get around that, or to try and prove that the NLC version is right, they're really going after this mob, you know, trying to trip them up about them not really having the level of knowledge that they say they have, about having changed their stories or even invented their stories about dreamings and things like that. So it's quite a confronting thing to watch, and I certainly don't envy the people that are sitting in the witness box, but gee, they're holding their ground. They're holding their ground very strongly. They're sticking to their guns, and they're saying, look, you know, we do have the stories for this land, and the Land Council did not listen to us properly, and the government did not listen to us properly, and the nomination shouldn't go ahead. So, as I said, a very disturbing process to watch, but absolute full credit to that Muckaty mob for having the strength to stand up to it.
Paddy, at the end of the day, in a court of law, you would hope and presume that the truth will hold up. Obviously, for the mob being in a white fella court, as you've said, very confronting culturally for women to be surrounded by male lawyers who are challenging their knowledge. And it really does demonstrate the massive gap, though, doesn't it, between the two systems of law.
That's right. All the power is with the white law. This is about Aboriginal people trying to use, in this instance, they're trying to use the court system to get an outcome, to stop a nomination of the waste dump. But basically what that means is that the white law is given the absolute upper hand through these whole proceedings. It's the Aboriginal people that are on trial. It's their knowledge that's on trial. It's all done in accordance. There's certainly no acknowledgement, you know, at the start of the day about the traditional owners of the land. There's no acknowledgement of the strength of the law and the culture that's in this area. It's a white court, and these people are just being put through the ringer. So it's quite a confronting process, but there are a lot of things that are coming out of it that I think reveal so much about the consultation process and what was wrong with the consultation process. I mean, for me, one of the darkest things is the way the government and the NLC, even in court, even their lawyers in court, when they're actually talking about the waste dump, they always emphasise the low-level waste that's going there, the hospital waste, the x-ray equipment, all of this sort of stuff. This is really what they sort of put at the front and centre of what they talk about when they're talking about the waste dump. What they never really truly talk about in detail is the spent nuclear fuel. That's the stuff that actually comes out of the Lucas Heights reactor. It's overseas at the moment getting reprocessed. This stuff is radioactive for thousands of years. It cannot be handled by humans. It has to be kept isolated from human beings and the environment, precisely because it's really the most dangerous industrial waste that there is in Australia, you know, if not the world. Spent nuclear fuel, you can't really get much more a dangerous product than that. But this is not being talked about in detail, you know, what's wrong with this waste, is it dangerous, etc. And it's very, very obvious that in the early consultation meetings that happened, there were meetings. Traditional owners were brought together by the NLC to be put this proposal about the waste dump. But what they were told was not a really serious, true account of nuclear waste, what its dangers are, so an informed decision and an informed consent could be given. I think that's absolutely clear. All the material that's been put forward by the government about this is what we show traditional owners, etc., none of it contains an actual, genuine, frank discussion about the spent nuclear fuel rods. And you can see in the trial that when traditional owners started to get information from the Environment Centre, from other people in the community here in Tennant Creek who were concerned about nuclear waste, where people actually started to put things in front of them which said, hey, look, there's another story about this nuclear stuff. You know, there is cause for concern. This is at least something which should be considered and debated, whether or not this is safe. As soon as that sort of information started to be made available to traditional owners, not by the Northern Land Council, it was never given by the Northern Land Council or the government, but as soon as people started to see that stuff, they started to challenge the waste dump. They started to worry about the poison coming into their country. And I think it's a credit, really. I mean, the Northern Land Council lawyers have tried to say, you know, it's all these environmentalists coming from outside stirring up discontent in community, and that's what's responsible for the mess that has been made of this whole Muckaty nomination. But really, from day one, it should have been their responsibility, you know, not just to put the government side about, you know, how good a nuclear waste dump is, but the whole argument about the controversy that surrounds nuclear waste and the nuclear industry.